If you have your Bibles handy, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 3, 4, and 5. This will be my text for the lesson. And they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." I'm going to use those three verses as my text, but for my golden text, I'm going to use the last few words of verse 4. "You have not passed this way before." When I call this the golden text, it does not mean that it is more valuable than the other words I read. It simply means that this is the part of the text that I will be speaking from the most. We're all familiar with the term, the golden text. In our Sunday school lessons, there was always the text, and then there was that golden text. It did not mean that that golden text was more valuable than the text. It simply meant that this golden text was going to be the message that I wanted to press into you today. So it is here. "You have not passed this way before." That's what I want to press into your hearts today. When this took place, the children of Israel was confronted by a totally new experience. Joshua made an expression which fits our current situation. He told Israel how to proceed. This great leader of Israel told the people, "You have never passed this way before." I'm sure that every person that's listening to these words can identify with that assessment. Just as Israel had never confronted the circumstances in which they found themselves, we also are walking in a new dimension. No one, not even the best prognosticator on the planet, not to mention all the prophets, had the slightest idea a few months ago that we would be facing shutdowns, reduced crowds, and deadly pestilence. Now, we are being confronted with new realities. We have not passed this way before. Our culture is being divided to the point that one would wonder if there will ever be a reintroduction of civility. Class warfare, racial warfare, political warfare is all that one sees or hears about on the newscast. The church is not exempt from strife. We have never passed this way before. Even technology, the darling of so many, is witnessing the tightening of free speech in America. If trends continue, anyone who dares proclaim the truths of Scripture will find themselves evicted from popular platforms of the technology crowd. We have not passed this way before. I suggest a couple of things contained in the story of Joshua, which are applicable to you and me. These are principles which will never change. In fact, I suspect that if we're going to successfully navigate these uncharted waters before us, there are two bedrock principles which will become essential. First, we must have a fresh revelation of God. When the priest took the ark out of the coverings, which hid it from the view of the common man, they exposed the glory of his presence to people who had never caught a glimpse of his holiness. The common man was far removed from the Holy of Holies, but now, suddenly, he saw for himself the awesome revelation of the God of heaven. I believe that it is time once again that the common man witness the glory of God. Just supposing that we change our focus, instead of praying that God would show up at church and bless everybody, and hoping that those out there in the world would come inside with us, I think it's time that we would pray that God would show up on Main Street, that people could see the glory of God. I think it's time that we would pray that God would show up as we're shopping at the flea market, and would send somebody by us that needed his love and his forgiveness, someone that need his healing power. Supposing that we prayed that God would show up while we were pumping our gas and show his glory to those around us. God is not afraid to show his glory. Why not pray that God would show up on your job and show his glory so that you could be the witness that would bring them into the church? I'm reminded of the prayer of Solomon in the 8th chapter of 1 Kings. Solomon had prayed for his people, but before he quit praying, he says this, concerning a stranger that is not of your people Israel, but comes out of a far country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and of your strong hand and of your stretched out arms. And when he comes and prays to this house, hear him and do according to all that the stranger calls you for. The strangers had heard about the glory of God that he had displayed outside of the tabernacle. It was outside into the open world, not behind the curtain that he opened up the Red Sea. It was not behind the walls of the temple that he opened up the Jordan River. It is time that we pray that God would meet with us, not only in our church to bless us, but on our jobs and at the flea market and while we're pumping gas, not just to bless us, but that others would see his glory. I know that sounds like a novice idea, but I think it's time that we practice what the first Christians did. It was in the streets of Jerusalem that the multitude saw the glory of God. Let us pray that God would show up wherever we show up and show his glory.